Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here we are.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Anthony DeCoco, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure, honestly, to be doing this in a different country when you're from, when you're from the States in America. So this is something that's, very meaningful.
Yeah.
And awesome.
Cool.
So thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm really interested in this conversation because when I asked Jonas about, do you think you would like to come in and do a podcast and maybe talk about your views on Sweden, hamburgers and all that stuff? But then I actually texted Tomas Niemi and I said, what should I talk about? And then he wrote some stuff and I was like, this is very interesting. And then you and I talked and I was like, okay, this is really going to be good.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. See, we'll probably start in Sweden and burgers and then we never know.
Yeah. let's take the journey, man. Let's go.
Yeah. We really should. So if just starting off, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Long Island, New York.
Yeah.
Originally. That's pretty much right next to Queens, Brooklyn. They say either on the island or in the island. If you're living on the island, it's on the island. If you're living in the island, clearly it's in the island. But you're living on Long Island.
Okay. How was it living in Long Island?
Where I come from, it's a town called Malvern. It's a very, it's like a square mile town. It's very small, very quiet. They have their own village cops and whatnot, but it's a very, very small town. Yeah.
How was it the first time you left the States?
The first time I left the States, like New York.
Left the United States just to see the world from where you grew up and just see the world. How was the difference for you?
Oh, wow. The difference was, when you're so used to living in a town that you know you're accustomed to and you know like your routines and to go home at a specific time and your friends and the people that are there, to go outside of that is something that, you have to kind of prepare yourself for. I mean, for my own sake, going to a different country, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to run to, who you're going to run to or anything. It could be bad. It could be good. But the first time I've ever left, the States was back in 2012. I went to Italy and I went from Florence to Rome to Naples, down to Sorrento, over to Pompeii. Doing that, solo, just taking, a plane ticket and just going. This was after a point, I was doing music. So I was doing music with a group of buddies back in the day. We played like a lot of hardcore music. And that was something that I had to break away from, something that you really love to do and really, see yourself doing and overcoming it. But you know that within yourself, you have to make a change for yourself and you have to go do something that's very different, completely out of the ordinary. So to go to a different country by yourself, it's thrilling. It's adventurous. It's something that just sparks something within you to just go ahead and just do it. I don't know. It's like, I guess you could say like getting off on it. Like I love traveling. Traveling is one of the best therapies that I could possibly have in my life from what I've gone through and from like the things that I overcame and had to overcome, seeing different things and meeting different people. That's one of the greatest things in life is meeting a different person. Meeting friends along the way. I look at it as like, books. Everybody is a book and everybody has many chapters and you get to learn like that about people and learn where they come from and share a bond. Like sharing a meal at a table. that's honestly the best time to really know somebody. And, you know, Anthony Bourdain is completely right. He's completely right about that. It's just one of the best things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you have to leave the music part?
You know, the music, you know, when you're young and the type of style for what it is, you know, you don't know whether you're going to be able to make it. You don't know whether you're going to be able to survive on a paycheck day in and day out with the music. You know, also at the same time, you know, it has to deal with, you know, chemistry. It has to deal with, you know, things that happen, you know. When you start seeing things that, you know, progressively start getting better and better and better, you know, things could change. It could be people that could change. It could be, you know, something that happens in your life that you have to go and you have to leave and go ahead and, you know, start a life or do what it is that you have to do. But, you know, music was my number one. That was something that I've always thought that it would be, you know, something very successful in doing. You know, there's nothing like going on a stage and just being able to just feel the energy of other people just loving your music and just like to like singing along to your lyrics. Like that energy that you create with the people is something that you honestly can't touch. But, you know, there was a time in my life where I didn't know who I was. I had no idea like what anything was about. All I knew was to just play music, play loud music, go off, travel, tour, and just like lose yourself and not know, like, you know, you not really know what's going on. You're just going from one place to another playing music, you know, getting offered like, you know, ounces of weed and like, you know, drinking and, you know, living that lifestyle. And, you know, it came to a point where I couldn't do it anymore. Like I wanted to find myself and I wanted to find who I was and what I'm here to do. And, you know, if it wasn't for my grandmother, you know, she, you know, said to me, she was like, why don't you travel? Why don't you cook? Why don't you try dabbling into that? And I said, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. You know, maybe I'll try that. And I've traveled and I'm cooking, and that saved me. Saved me for knowing who I am and what I do and what I'm here to do. If you want to go back all the way in traveling,
I just want to know one thing.
Yeah.
What was it that actually made you take the leap to feel like, okay, I really need to know who I am? Do you have something? Is there a special occasion where it started?
The special occasion, I would say, is I was cooking in the city. It was a place called Esca, and it was over by 10th Avenue. I think it's the Broadway district by like 41st Street, I believe it was. And I remember being there in the kitchen, and I remember looking at the reservation list. And, you know, this isn't about like Italy or anything else like that, but this is like going what you're saying, like, yeah. What made you want to, you know, just travel? You know, I saw on the reservation list Elvis Costello and Tony Bennett. And I was like, holy shit, man. Like, fuck. Like, these people are actually here and they're actually going to, you know, eat something that we're going to be making in the kitchen, you know, as a team. And I had a friend that worked in the same kitchen with me. And for some reason why, I just said to myself, like, you know, what, like, how do I get to Cali? Like, because she was from Cali. And I was like, how do I get to Cali? And she had a brother that lived in Compton. And at that time, I was like, wow, if, you know, I could feed, like, these kinds of people, like, it doesn't matter who, like, where you go, what you do. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter, you know, where it is. It's just something that, like, you know, Elvis Costello is, like, a musician. And that's just, like, you know, like, wow, like, Elvis Costello. But at that moment I said to myself, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. Like, it was just something within me. It was like this sort of feeling like in your gut, like when you know that like something is right, then your gut is telling you like, you should go ahead and do it. And you should just like free yourself and just go for it. And that's pretty much like that kind of feeling that you have, you know, like. It's hard for people to make decisions based on other people telling you like, oh, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. Not enough people are like really like are intuitive with themselves to listen to themselves and be like, well, maybe I should go that way. Maybe I should do that. If it feels right, I go ahead and do it.
Do you have times where you haven't listened to your intuition and it went wrong?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times that that's happened. You know, whether it's, you know, getting offered like a different job or, you know, having a job that's just like you thought that it would be what it would be. And you're like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. I should go ahead and do this. And you know that it's not really hasn't worked out the way how it's supposed to be. Like, you know, times like that, that would happen. But majority from learning from things like that would experiences, like you start to like realize like what, you know, what you think is best for you. I mean, it's a risk, you know, it's all, you don't know. You may know, you may not know. It's like, you know, playing Russian roulette. Either, you know, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. But, you know, there's been a couple of times where I made a decision and was like, I don't think I should have done that. But you're already in it already. Mm-hmm. But that's all part of life. If you don't experience life and go through life without these, you know, failures or without these wrong decisions, how are you supposed to prep yourself to go ahead and be able to take on, you know, other obstacles or experiences?
So in a way, it's actually because of Elvis Costello and Tony Bennett.
Oh yeah. Everything started. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's not because of their music, because they went to your place to eat.
Yeah. I mean, they went to the restaurant to eat. Yeah. And that just, you know, I just had like this, I get this from my mother, like when you have like this, like vision to do something and you want to do it, like you just go do it and you just don't stop. Like no matter what it is. That's the same thing with, you know, leaving the States and leaving United States and going to Italy, where my grandmother was like, why don't you just like go ahead and just like go travel? And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that because I know it's going to be a challenge for me because not only am I going to learn from it, I'm going to create wisdom and I'm going to come back appreciative of what life has given me. And when you go ahead and put yourself into these situations where you go out, you come back more appreciative of like what you have, more grateful of the things that you've done and the people that you've met along the way. So, you know, going to Italy and taking an Italian cooking course in Mezzano, Italy, meeting a chef there, Monica Longobardi, and took me into her home and we were just cooking and cooking and cooking. You know, it was an unbelievable experience having that sort of like, you know, moment with somebody that's like, wow, you know, you're making friends with somebody. You don't know who they are. You haven't been to like, you know, like that part of like the world. And it's just like when you put good energy out there and you just like exude like good things always come to you. You know, many people may not like understand that, but it's a real thing. Like if you're a good person and you do good and you do good for others, it's always going to come back to you no matter what. It's all about just like patience and just, you know, that moment coming. And then you see to yourself and you're just like, whoa, like that happened. Why did that happen? You know, things come unexpectedly and it's like, it's a beautiful thing about life. You know, what you put out there is what you get back, and you should be absolutely grateful for it every moment.
Your grandmother is an important person in your life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Ooh, it gave me goosebumps. And I'm not even kidding with you right now. When we went out to Carl August, it was two nights ago, me, Jonas, and Nicholas Bockstrom. Awesome dude. Really, really awesome guy. So we were in conversation and out of nowhere, I hear this song, and it's a song that me and my grandmother, this is our favorite song. And every time we hear it, when I was with her, we would get up, we would dance. It's by Glenn Miller. It's called In the Mood. And every single time I hear this song, I know that she's around. Like there's not like, it's no coincidence because it's happened also in Italy and it's happened in places where you make yourself feel open and free. And at that moment, sitting there, enjoying a meal with two really great people, being like an open person, like being like fully open, like, and hearing this song, I was like, what are the chances? What are the odds of this happening? It's like a sign, you know? And I took myself out of that conversation with them, and I just sat there just like looking up like, wow, holy shit. Like, there's a song. There it is. It's a reminder that, like, you know, someone's there and like she's there, and it's, you know, it's a very special thing. And it's something I'm really grateful for, of like being able to like hear something that my grandmother, you know, that we share that kind of moment. But my grandmother was, you know, somebody that was very, she was very welcoming. You know, you could have somebody come in through the door and she would just serve you coffee, serve you, you know, cannolis or like, you know, the cheesecake, or, you know, cook food and whatnot. You know, she's a very witty woman. She was definitely a jokester, but at the end of the day, she was very thoughtful and caring and, you know, just love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I almost got tear up in your story. I'm just guessing that she's not around anymore.
No. Yeah. She passed away in 2014 when I was in California at the time. And, you know, my mother, I know that she wasn't, my grandmother wasn't doing well. And I remember very, very distinctively, I was in Koreatown. I was in my apartment, and it was a morning, and I was supposed to go to work. I was working at an establishment called Craig's. It was on Melrose Avenue. And I remember getting the phone call, and my mom was like, you know, grandma passed away. And I, you know, I completely just, I lost myself. Like, I sat in that room just collectively thinking, and just like thinking about the times that we had, and, you know, also a reason why the things that I do is what I do is because of her. Motivation is because of her. Also my mother as well. But, you know, hearing that news, like, for me, it was a kick in the chest, because my grandmother's a fighter. And then I had to fly back home and, you know, obviously do the funeral services and whatnot. And, you know, it was definitely a challenging part of my life, you know, losing somebody that, you know, you look up to, and they take you in. Like, I would go to my grandmother's bringing lunch every single time for like lunch, like a lunch break, because I would just want to hear her stories. Like, she had so many stories from like New York City. Mm-hmm. And it was like her life, and like the life that she lived was just like, you don't get like those kinds of stories. Like, you get those stories, but you don't, like, it's hard to, like, you know, talk to the elderly, like, about, like, things, like, you know, about, like, what was the life like back then? Like, you know, like, we live in a generation now where it's just, like, you know, we're on our phones and this and that, and, like, you know, we get lost in that. We get lost in other people's, like, you know, things that they do or they like, and, you know, technology has really taken over. But, like, to get a chance to really sit with somebody that's, like, in a generation period that was like whether in their 70s or their 80s, and like really like listening to what they've been through, you know, it's fascinating. So I would go to my grandmother's every time, you know, even when I was younger, when we were cooking, like, you know, just going inside the kitchen and like just like smelling and like trying to like, you know, take some food, and my grandmother would be like, ah, get out of here, like, you know, just like, get the fuck out of here, like, you know. Yeah, she's a huge inspiration. She's still an inspiration to this day. Her name's Angela, and yeah, I miss her dearly. So, yeah. But she's a reason why I do what I do as well.
I can see it in your eyes when you talk about her.
Yeah,
it's a lot of love.
Yeah, yeah.
What did she tell you? Do you have a story or something that really, how to say, captivated you? Like,
oh man, there's many stories. Wow. You know, she would tell me stories about like her brothers in the city, and you know, just pretty much like joking around with everybody, you know, just like having the time of their lives. And, you know, my great grandmother opened up, she had like a storefront in Manhattan. I believe it was on 111th Street in East Harlem between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. And she had like a grocery store. And my grandmother would tell me that people just come in there and they would just like order things left and right. Like, and I believe this was like during one of the wars. And she told me that my great grandfather, they used to have like a back room, and my great grandfather was like a big time like poker player. And she would tell me all the time that she would be inside the grocery store. My great-grandfather would just play poker with these guys with a cigar in his mouth and everything else like that. And everybody would hate playing with my great-grandfather because he would always win because he was such a card shark. So, like, you know, the stories that she would tell me, like, with our other family members, it's like, you know, it's like old-school tradition. And, you know, those are memories that, you know, you can't get back anymore. That's one of the reasons why I love Fika. You know, you get to hang out, you get to enjoy the time, you get to enjoy a nice pastry, you have your coffee. Like, I, you know, one thing about I love about Sweden is the fika. You really, like, it's like the therapy. You sit there, you enjoy the day. Like, you know, you read the paper or you just, you know, observe and watch. So it's you know, I do the same thing back at home. You know, I have an espresso machine, I make coffee, like same thing, same process. Just wake up, have a cup, and, you know, you're ready to go.
So it's a tradition from you then, bringing in the Swedish tradition.
Yeah.
My friends from Canada are the same. They just love fika.
Yeah.
So he takes photos and videos on Instagram and sends me fika time.
Yeah.
Fika so good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's everybody, like, you know, the everybody that I've met here in Sweden, it's like, oh, I love, I have fika.
Yeah.
I gotta have fika. You know, that's when I wake up, it's fika. That's it. Yeah.
I want to stay a bit in Italy before we go to Sweden.
Yeah.
I just want to hear more about your trip to Italy and food making and everything. And what was your experience? Because we talked earlier, like first time leaving the United States and going to another country. How was it?
It was fantastic. You know, going by train from Florence to Rome to Naples and Sorrento, you know, I brought like English resumes and Italian resumes and just going to like all restaurants and just being like, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, I'm from America. Like, you know, I'd like to work here. I would like to understand like where, you know, like what your kitchen lifestyle is here and like how you make, you know, how you cook, how you make fresh pasta and everything else like that. And I remember back at the school, you know, they offered me a job and I said, you know, let's get a work visa, you know, and staying with this person, Monica Longobardi, you know, taking me in and being able to actually understand the Italian, you know, classical cuisine and just being able to like work there for a little while and being able to be underneath her wing and just fully engulf myself in that process. But before then, you know, traveling from, you know, the north, it's everything is all different in Italy. Like Florence was like a really like a party town kind of, and it was like going out there and like seeing all these young people like limoncello shots and just like, you know, Peronis and, you know, everything like that. And then, you know, you get to Rome and then, you know, obviously the Colosseum and, you know, everything, it just looks so ancient looking and just like being mesmerized by this stuff, like looking at it and being like, holy fuck, man, I'm in a different part of the country, like I'm in a different part of the world right now. And being able to go down to Naples. My family, their bare is in Abledan. So some of them for Bari, some of them from Naples, and some of them are outside of Rome. So being able to have, you know, Neapolitan pizza in Naples, it exceeds its expectations. It's really fucking good. And then going down to Pompeii, Sorrento area, seeing the ruins in Pompeii, like, you put yourself there, like this has happened like a long time ago. Like you don't realize like Mount Vesuvius and like all these things, all this history, and you're standing there and you're just like, wow, like a lot of things have happened here. And putting yourself, I guess, in that kind of situation and like understanding the history and understanding like what it entails and, you know, actually looking at, you know, Mount Vesuvius, and it's just like, whoa. Like, shit went down, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, holy shit. But yeah, a really, really great experience. That trip really woke me up. Like, really, really took me out of, like, my own comfort. Like, I went in there as, like, a very anxious, very confused, did not know, like, you know, what to do. Had no idea, you know, how to go about what I wanted to do. And then just putting yourself in there and like making yourself feel that you have nobody. It's just you. It's just you, and you don't know what's going to happen. So you just, you kind of mold into it. You kind of like get out as much as you possibly can day in and day out by traveling, by walking in different places. Like, you know, I understand the language to an extent. I can't speak it fluently, but if somebody is talking and speaking, like I could understand because I've heard it from my own family and whatnot. But, you know, being able to go around and look at things that you don't normally see, you learn. Like it's a learning process. It's something that you take with you, and you kind of like build your own, I guess, your own, how could I say, like your own wisdom or your own mental clarity, and you strengthen yourself, you strengthen your core. And Italy pretty much did that for me. It woke me up to a lot of things of who I was.
Would you say it was scary at the beginning or liberating?
Both. It was both. It was more liberating, though. It was very scary because, you know, I was, what was I? It was about 20, early 20s, I believe it was. Yeah, 23, 24. Yeah, I believe so. And just, you know, at that age, like, you know, for me, I was like, fuck it, I'm going. Like, you know, like, what's holding me back? I have nothing holding me back. So, yeah, liberating about the trip and getting lost in it. And then scary that it's like, I'm just going by myself. Like, I don't have anybody to share this with. I have nobody to, like, go next to and be like, hey, listen, I think we should maybe, like, go here. Or maybe we should, like, do this. Like, it was just like, you're by yourself and you just right in it. You just go. You just go for it. And that's exactly what happened. When I landed in Florence, it was, like, more of like, okay, what are we going to do now? How are we going to figure this out? But you just go ahead and go for it. You just got to go for it. That's all I could do. That's all I could say about it. Yeah, you figure it out. When you're in a time of like.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, in a time, I don't want to say like helpless or anything else like that, but like in a time where you don't know what to do, you figure it out and you do whatever it is that you can. And I remember being on my iPhone, just looking at like Google Maps and just like looking at the hotel where I'm supposed to be going and just being like, okay, I'm going to walk like a 2 mile radius around and just go around and just figure my way and just go look at things and just go explore and just get lost and see what happens. And to me, that's liberating till this day, you know, doing the same thing here in Sweden, coming here, seeing an area and just getting lost. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great water, by the way. Sweden's fucking water is absolutely delicious. The more north you go, the better it gets.
It is, right?
Oh, it's fucking delicious, man.
Yeah, you cannot drink the tap water in New York, right?
I wouldn't suggest it at all. No, unless it's filtered. But man, Luleå's got some really great water up there.
Yeah, I can imagine. Actually, I haven't been in Luleå since I was 12, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time.
That's great.
Did you get lost in Luleå?
Oh yeah, I got lost in Luleå. Yeah. My heart is in Luleå. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just it brings such a great energy. There's something about the nature, about the area, just you know, it reminds me of New York and upstate New York, like the Catskill Mountains or like Woodstock or Beacon. And like, you know, these are areas that, you know, they're small, but like it's surrounded by mountains. It's surrounded by nature, and it's surrounded around people that, you know, they live their lives and they do, you know, what it is they have to do to, you know, make ends meet.
Have you been to Luleå wintertime?
No, I've been there in the summertime, and people say, oh, well, why don't you wait till the wintertime, you know, see how it is in the wintertime. But that's the thing is, I'm a winter baby. That's the problem. Like, yeah. I love the snow. Yeah, there's nothing like building a fire, having like a cup of coffee, hot coffee, and some like biscuits, and you're just like, yeah, all right, you know, let's enjoy the comfort. Let's enjoy the moment.
Yeah. And you got to try the sauna and the ice bath also.
Oh, sauna's great. Yeah. Every time I'm here, I sauna.
Have you combined it with ice bath also?
I haven't done the ice bath yet, but I've been mentioned to do the sauna and the ice bath.
Yeah,
which is something that I would absolutely do.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely try it.
Yeah. One day.
Interesting experience.
In the winter time, absolutely, for sure.
How many times have you been in Sweden?
This is my second time in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first time was because I don't know even if I said it at the beginning, but now you work with Bastard Burgers at their first open place in New York.
Yeah. So I work with Bastard Burgers and a brewery called the Bronx Brewery. So they're in collaboration over in the East Village in New York. So I run the kitchen over there in the East Village location.
Yeah. Did you ever think that you would do Swedish burgers in New York?
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. But I am very grateful of doing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How has it been starting the place up and all that?
Well, you know, starting a restaurant is stressful. It is. It's, but at the same time, it's a glorious feeling, you know, watching something come to life, you know, building something for it to come to life. It's one of the, for a chef and for a restaurateur or an owner, like those are one of the things that I really look forward to, is once that key is open and the door opens, it's go time. And that's, you know, that's liberating, you know, being able to get everything all ready, get everything together, and then open the doors, open the floodgates, and, you know, let's go. Let's do this. So, yeah.
What made you actually realize that food was your thing? This is a question I should have actually asked it this, way back.
Yeah, this you should have asked before we got into the traveling, before all of this. You know, as ridiculous as this sounds, my first memory, like being here, like, you know, alive, my first memory was eating. Mm. And it was green. It was on a cone. And all I remember was it very cold and it feeling really good going like in, you know, going down. And I would ask my mother, I would be like, Ma, like, you know, what were we doing? Like, where were we? Like, I remember eating something green and I remember, you know, just somebody was across from me and I where were we? So she was like, we were in Italy. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, it was 1989. You were about two and a half years old. And I was like, okay, like, well, what establishment, where were we? And she was like, well, your grandmother used to own apartments in Italy. And she had a really great friend. His name was Peppino. And he owned a gelato stand. And right there, it clicked. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, who's across from me? She's like, your brother. And I was like, really? And ever since then, food just stuck with me. And to think about it, that I was in Italy, and my first memory was traveling. You're not coherent, like you're young, you don't know where you are, what you're doing, but at the fact that I was in a different country eating and watching life unfold now to this day, you wonder why you manifest, you wonder why you attract things in your life and you attract what you want to do. And that's why it's important to manifest, and it's important to, you know, live your life and to attract the things in your life that you want.
How do you do that?
It might be different for everybody.
I mean, your way.
My way. Well, my way is just putting myself there, envisioning myself, feeling that I'm there already, making sure that like I could see myself being there. And then the process to go ahead and do it is putting in the work, doing the things to get yourself there, no matter what it is. It's the process. It's what you're going to put into it and how much you're going to want to put into it, the risk, the sacrifice, the, you know, everything that comes with it. It's up to you if you want to go ahead and do that. You know, a lot of people are very content with what they're doing. You know, a lot of people living their lives, they enjoy it. You know, some people, they enjoy having a family and that's it. And some people like to adventure and they like to lose themselves and like to be able to go to different places and do different things, you know? But, you know, my process is envisioning yourself being there already and just going towards it and working hard towards it. If you don't put in the work, it's never going to happen. If you just want to sit around and think, you know, wait for it and, oh, yeah, it'll come, it'll come, it'll come. Is it really going to come, though? Or are you going to go ahead and make it happen? And if you want something, you make it happen, no matter what. You're your own universe. You're your own journey. And it's the journey that you choose to go on, that you want to go on. So make it fucking happen.
when was the first time that you realized that you have kind of deep thoughts or thinking of the of life and the universe and putting yourself out there and everything?
That started where I was really getting myself really involved in like being intuitive and being like, you know, more part of like your core and part of yourself was definitely after high school. I was probably about like 19, 20 years old when it started happening. You know, being in with like, you know, seeing friends and like seeing different crowds and like how like, you know, the energy isn't so good. And like, you know, whether it's drama, whether it's gossip, whether it's, you know, any sort of thing that doesn't suit like who you are, like what you're about. And once you start taking those things out of your life, then you start focusing on your own path. Then like you start seeing things and experiencing things that make you feel better. So after I like left like the music and, you know, I left, you know, a friend group, you know, that I think about till this day all the time. But, you know, it's a matter of working on yourself and figuring yourself out and being able to overcome, you know, the person who you used to be to become a better person, challenging yourself every day to becoming a better person. So around that time was when, you know, I had to figure myself out and be on a totally different path.
What would you say was the most difficult thing to realize about yourself?
Oh man, the most difficult thing to realize about myself. Yeah. That's a good one. I think it would be like patience. Mm. You know, everything is patience. You have to learn how to understand that time is a thing and time isn't a thing, kind of thing. But you know, understanding that you can't rush things, understanding that you can't, you know, make things happen in like, you know, an instant and then get like, you know, pissed off or mad about it, that it didn't happen right there and then. But being able to kind of wait it out and see how things work itself out. You know, to this day, you know, sometimes you don't have to sit back and have to be like, okay, like, you know, this is the plan that's going to happen. This is where the future, you know, the future is supposed to be. This is where I would like it to be. And it's just a matter of being able to just, you know, zen yourself and be able to be patient.
No, because I think patience is one of the most difficult things. I had a guest earlier, and when we talked about, I went into my stand-up and that I was kind of naive when I started. I was like, yeah, 1 year. Mm. I'll make it in a year.
Yeah.
So I can quit this job and then just have it good. So it will take a year.
Yeah.
Now I'm just looking back and like, yeah, shit, I should have given it maybe 10 years and be more honest and be patient. And I see it in a lot of young people that want something. It's now.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So patience is a very good thing. And I think it's one of the most difficult things also to accept, because we always want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where am I in 10 years? Or how will this turn out within a week?
Yeah.
I want to know now.
Yeah.
But we just got to sit and wait.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know, like, what's going to happen.
No.
You never know. Anything could change. You could think about what you want to do, and you could think about, like, where it happens in the next 5 or 10 years. But throughout those 5 and 10 years, your road could go somewhere different, you know? If it's something that you really, like, you see yourself doing that you want to do, like, you know, somebody wants to be an astronaut or something, you know, and they're working towards that, and like something happens, but, you know, it goes one route, but then all of a sudden it comes back on, you know, that sort of path. It's like these roadblocks that come in that veer you off a path. You know, life will give you those kinds of turns to see like how you're going to prepare yourself in order to get to, you know, where you want to end up. Maybe astronaut was a little bit too excessive, but you know, maybe, you know, it could be something like a chef or, you know, anything, you know, anything like journalist, writer, you know, anything like that.
I don't know if you call, but we call it the inner journey. Is that the same expression you have over in the States? I mean, the life journey, the inner journey, it's like, at least we call it in the inner journey. It's when you start to realize who you are.
Yeah.
That's the inner journey. We call it the inner journey.
Yeah.
That's
how
it begins. And you are on the inner journey.
Yeah.
So that's your thing. When you went to Italy, it started.
Yeah.
It kind of catapulted.
Yeah.
So what would you say was one of the bigger misconceptions you had about life that took a turn to realize that it was completely different than you thought when you went on this trip, or maybe later on also?
Oof. Kind of misconceptions. To go a journey through life or traveling in that aspect.
I like the way you view life and people, and then I was like, okay, shit, I was totally wrong about this. This was not like I had expected. Sometimes it can even be about yourself also. You have this image about who I am, and there's, oh shit, that is not me.
Oh, definitely, you know, as being a chef, like, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like you want to be the best and you want to be the greatest, and like ego comes in, and like ego's a fucking killer. Like that shit will fucking kill you. And you know, being in the restaurant field, you know, I definitely had a chip on my shoulder. Definitely thought, you know, because my work ethic was go getter, go 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 go. But based on like travels and stuff like that, you know, going to, you know, a different place and showing that kind of ego where people are like, whoa, like, dude, like, it's not about that, man. Like, you know, kind of like relax. Like, it's more about life. It's more about like, you know, being able to engulf yourself in the moment, you know? So probably I would say like, yeah, that being like egotistical and like going to a different area, going somewhere else where it's not accepted. And it's like, whoa, like, I thought that, like, you know, becoming a great chef and becoming a great leader and being something that's like, you know, of a role model and whatnot, that like you want to be like, you know, like, I guess like a one up and whatnot. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to have that ego. I don't want to have that sort of mentality. It's not a good environment. It's toxic in a way.
Was it difficult to let go of?
What? Ego?
The ego, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It was. Because like I said, you know, being a chef and being, you know, like my route was like 3-star Michelin. Mm. Like I really wanted, and as every other chef, they want to reach that level. And being at such a young age and trying to do that and trying to succeed in that and like being like that and like working towards that, like, you know, like, instead of like, you know, seeing somebody's mistake, it's like, oh, who the fuck are you? Like, and then just like throwing shit and like, you know, it has to be like this. Like, otherwise, if it's not like mine, then, you know, fuck off, get the fuck out, you know? But I wanted to strive for like, you know, those 3-star Michelin stars. And I just didn't see it being fulfilling. I didn't see it being something that was like good in my nature, good in, you know, who I was. Mm. Yeah.
And now you're in Sweden.
Now I'm in Sweden. Yeah, 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 yeah. A beautiful country. And I've met some of the greatest people. Like, very hospitable, very welcoming, very warm. And it's, you know, one of those things that, you know, you want to attract good people and you want to attract being around good people. And you just want to surround yourself around really good natured people. And, you know, that's what this trip and the previous trip did as well for me. You know, back at home, it's, you know, you're used to what goes on at home, that, you know, when you go somewhere else, you know, you tend to lose that part and put yourself in somebody else's shoes or put yourself in a country that, you know, is very different from the States and whatnot. Mm. And, you know, that's one of the things I really love about Sweden is you could like really like open yourself up because you have people that actually like they care. Not to say that people in America like don't care. Of course they care. It's a different perspective in Sweden, you know.
In what way?
It's, you know, I from what I see, it's, you know, it's different. I don't want to say like stricter, but like, you know, there's some rules that apply that, you know, that people obviously do, you know, obviously what they do with their work environment and everything else like that. You know, people are very, you know, they're very on their own course, and they, you know, they tend to, you know, reach it like, hey, like, you know, people that I've see like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? You know, in the States, like where I'm from in New York, it's either, you know, it's going to be like, hey, fuck you, like, you know, and be like, oh, hey, how you doing? But fuck you. And like, you know, like, it's a different beast out in New York. But Sweden, it just feels so like hospitable. You know, you're an outsider, you know, and when you go into a new territory, you know, I don't know anybody, but being accepted, like, it's such a great feeling to be accepted. You know, you're not being judged. You're not being like, you know, I have like horror tattoos, and like people aren't like, well, why do you got that tattooed on you? Like, what made you want to do that? What made you want to get that? You know, and like, you could just be yourself, and it's very comfortable. Yeah.
What was your view of Sweden before you came here?
My view of Sweden was, you know, considering it's so close to Norway, I thought it was like, you know, like a mountainous, like, you know, like this like fantasy looking, like, you know, like just beautiful landscapes, and, you know, everybody is just like free, and like, you know, it's a different kind of culture. And the more that, you know, I was looking into it, I was looking at the food aspect of it as well, you know, like the pickled sill and like, you know, the kalox. You know, I'm probably butchering the language, so I'm sorry in advance. But I was also looking at the food aspect of it more and seeing like what that entails. But, you know, you don't know unless you put yourself in the country. Like, you could read about it, but you're not living it. You're not there to like actually engulf yourself around it. And, you know, to be given the opportunity to go around the country, like, it's super grateful for it. Like, I've seen like Luleå, Stockholm, Gothenburg, Linköping, Malmö recently. First time I went to Malmö, and it was just like, wow, like, this is also another beautiful part of the country that I've never seen before. So, you know, it's an amazing country to see from the north to the south, and like really fully engulf yourself in those areas of a whole country. Like, you think, and like, you see, I'm still obviously still learning, you know, learning of like, you know, what things are and like what different foods there are, and like, you know, like whether it's pastries or like, you know, where the food comes from, and, you know, where the meats come from, and, you know, it's a never ending learning process.
What would you, what would you say about the Swedish food compared to American food?
Well, I mean, Swedish food, I mean, obviously it's a totally different taste. Yeah. You know, the way how things are, you know, raised here, whether it's like, you know, the cows and like, you know, the produce and whatnot, it has a different taste, different, you know, different texture, you know, different cultural, you know, ingredient usage into what, you know, they use. You know, I see like, so far I see like a lot of dill, you know, there's a lot of cardamom, you know, a lot of caviar, the kalix and stuff. That's like a big delicacy. You know, American food is, you know, American food. You know, there's so, it's so different because it's where you go in the States. Like, New York has a very diverse, you know, Korean, Indian, like, there's so many different cultures that flock there that have so many different kinds of restaurants and so many different flavors. Like Queens is like one of like the biggest boroughs that has like these restaurants that you could just go to. Peruvian food, Mexican, like Italian, like everything. Same thing with Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn has Lucali. Lucali has like some of the best pizza, and they're over in Carroll Gardens. And it's, anybody gets a chance, if they ever go to Brooklyn, go to Lucali's, because that place is fucking fire.
Have you tried the fermented fish?
No, and I've been asking for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, sustraming, right?
Yeah.
Every time I ask for it, everybody's like, oh, I hope you open that up all the way down the block, because don't open it up around here. And I'm like, well, I would love to try it, you know? That's the one thing. So next time I come back to Sweden, please.
Yeah, I think Jonas, Richard, and Thomas, they should eat some fermented fish surströmming. I think they love that shit.
Yeah,
they should just pop it open.
Yeah, and they just have the smell just linger around. Yeah, I'm sure I'd get kicked the fuck out.
Yeah, Miami is famous because they did it on Subway.
Yeah. But yeah.
You can actually buy a can in the store if you want.
Really?
Yeah. So yep. Oh yeah, for sure. You can go in now into the store and buy it. 100%.
See?
Yeah.
See, this is you learn something every day.
Yeah, because I bought it for my friends from Canada.
Yeah.
And when you leave it out, the can kind of bulges like up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because it swells from the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, oh shit, that shit's gonna explode in my bag, my suitcase. I was like, don't worry, we can tape it. So I put in a plastic bag and taped it. I was like, don't worry, James, it's going to be good. He was just super worried. And when he didn't want to take it. Like, no, dude, you got to take it home. You got to take it to Canada. You got to take it home.
Did it pop, though?
No, it didn't. It actually survived.
I was hoping it would. Yeah, I was hoping.
So now you can buy one, and then you'll be safe.
Oh,
even
good.
Even when it swells, then you know.
Well, then after this, I'm going to go ahead and get myself some sustroming.
Yeah.
Open it up in the hotel room. Clear out the whole third floor.
So what inspiration are you bringing home now for burgers and stuff?
Have
you seen some burger in New York?
Oh man, I don't know. Nobody
delicacy.
More cultural ingredients, you know, more you know, taking the culture here and bringing it over there and mending it together. You know, bringing it could be different ingredients. I know that there's a store called Bon Bon over in New York, and they have a lot of Swedish goods and whatnot. You know, Trocadero, they have Marabou chocolate. Fucking love Marabou chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Whew, man. A bar of that, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have great ingredients over there, and, you know, wanting to incorporate more of that culture, more of the of what they do to come into a burger. Absolutely, yeah.
Where do you see yourself in the future, 5 or 10 years?
Where do I see myself? I see myself, you know, being able to have a big impact on society, to be able to be a role model, to be able to guide the youth, guide people into learning and understanding, you know, more about yourself, more about, you know, your manifestation, more about positivity, more about being able to do the things that you're destined to do here, that you're alive, you know. It's to make an impact to society, to make people want to be happy. You know, we live in a world right now where we're so torn, and we're so like, you know, whether it's technology, the internet, relationships, you know, family, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to think about your core. You have to think about you. You have to think about the things around you. You have to understand and learn that, you know, certain things, if they don't work out, if they let it go, just like be there for yourself, be there for the people that love you and the people that you love, and to just do good, to just do good for the people and do right by the people. You know, nobody likes, you know, assholes. Nobody likes dickheads. You know, don't be a dick. Don't be a douche, you know. But, you know, also through travels, you know, being able to culturally, like, involve myself and doing seeing different things. You know, I still have a lot to learn. You know, I don't know everything. You know, I don't want to know everything. You know, every day is something different, and every day is something new. And to be able to help people in some sort of way, also through food, you know, but guiding people to their passions, being able to want to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. That's helping people, nurturing people, like through a bigger lens, not like such a small, like a small kind of area, but something bigger. Whatever it may be, but you know, focusing on making sure that people are more happier, more positive. That's what I feel that, you know, I'm here to do.
You know what might happen?
Tell me.
In 10 years, somebody will come up to you and he will say, or she will say, "Oh my God, Anthony DiCocco, I heard you in a podcast once, so I started to travel. So you will be there, Tony Bennett."
And honestly, I hope that in 10 years from now that person will contact me and tell me that, because I would absolutely love to have a conversation with that person and be able to share that sort of interaction with that person. And that's one of the things I love about meeting people. When I meet people, it, like I said before, they're a book. Like, you don't know all the pages, but when you start reading through the pages and you start understanding, then it's like you open yourself up and you open up that other person to be able to relate to certain things. You know, there's too many people that judge. There's too many people that look at one another and they're just like, it could be like the style of your hair. It could be like what you wear. It could be your tattoos. And they just look at you and they're like, oh, fuck you. Like, you're weird. It's like, why have that energy first? Like, why come off like that first? You know, why not like look at the person, look at like, you know, whether they have tattoos and or, you know, what they're, the item of clothes that they're wearing, and just be like, make friends. Hey, how you doing? Like, you know, like, what's your story? Like, what do you do? Like, you know, why do you have that? You know, a lot of people ask me like, you know, about my tattoos and, you know, like, oh, what is that? What does that stand for? What is that? I tell them, and, you know, we go into a deeper conversation, and then we both leave that conversation being like, you know, fulfilled and just, you know, being like, thank you for your time. Like, that was awesome. And just carry on about your day.
Everything is communication, words. And we've sat here for almost an hour now.
Nice.
So we went from, or actually I went from doing funny Photoshops with you, meaning the Max Burger.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. Jonas showed me that. And I was like, oh my God, here we go.
But now we're here.
Yeah.
And now I know you.
Yeah.
The person you are. And it's been an interesting ride, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I have one more question, or maybe more. It depends.
Yeah.
What scares you?
What scares me? not being able to fulfill what I'm supposed to be here for. That's what scares me.
What is success?
Success is being able to take what you really want to do and being able to make sure that people understand, that people could learn from it, and people could take some sort of guidance or some sort of positivity from it to build themselves so they could take that into what they do to become better.
What's happiness?
What's happiness?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's food? Food is happiness.
Yeah.
There's no other better feeling than, you know, eating pappardelle and, you know, rigotto gnocchi, and then you get that feeling in your body like, that's delicious. That's happiness.
I think food is an Italian thing, because my brother, I told you, my older brother's half Italian,
yeah,
and he loves food too, and he loves to cook and all that.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be listening now. It's like, hey, my Italian brother, yeah, of course, yeah, fratello.
Yeah, 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 yeah. 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 No, food. That's, you know, that's my happiness.
Yeah.
And also, travel is my happiness.
That is almost the answer to this question. But what inspires you? Where do you get inspiration from?
Life. Everything that life has to offer, whether it's culture, whether it's location, you know, being inspired is something important in life. You have to drive yourself to want to do something, you know. I think one of my most people that I look up to is Anthony Bourdain, you know, just his lessons, where he's gone, what he's done for society. You know, that's somebody that, you know, you should look up to and like really understand, you know, considering, you know, the issues that he would have himself. But, you know, going off and showing the world, like, this is what this is like, and teaching through food and having food on the table with somebody, like, that's something that's inspirational to me as well, being able to do something like that. And it's a fantastic journey.
Do you read anything, books?
I do.
What's your latest book?
Oh, man. Well, it's probably the fourth time that I've read it, honestly, but I keep reading it. I'm actually reading The Shining by Stephen King.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Stephen King nerd and a movie nerd, horror movie nerd. I also have Anthony Bourdain's new autobiography by Laurie Wolliver. But I like to read, I like the thriller, suspense, horror. You know, a lot of Chuck Palahniuk. But yeah, it's more like that feeling of like putting yourself in like, oh my God, like, what the fuck do you do? Is somebody like coming after you? It's like a serial killer coming after you, and you gotta like fight yourself off, or, you know, stuff like that. So those kinds of books. A lot of people are like, why do you like horror so much? That's so like aggressive and like angry and stuff like that. And it's like, well, when you're watching a horror movie, you're like, your eyes are like open. You're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, till this day, The Exorcist scares the fucking piss out of me. Yeah. When she's on the bed, just like fucking convulsing and just like going nuts out of over an entity that's just like not even physically appear. Like, it's just, that's fucking scary. And shit like that fucking happens. Not to that extent, maybe, but like, you know, there are like entities out there that engulf your energy. And it's like, fuck, like that can happen. Mm-hmm. So that's scary.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I like. That. Like, you don't know what could happen, but also the filmmaking. Like, you know, I've worked in Los Angeles. I've worked at Chateau Marmont. Like, you know, being the executive sous chef over there. Like, doing the Grammy Awards, doing the Academy Awards, and like being able to see, like, in real time, like all these people that have done all these films and whatnot. Like, being able to just like sit there and be like, fuck, man, food can take you anywhere. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter where it is, food takes you everywhere. And if you believe in that, then that's what will happen. It's not about the people, it's just like about like where it goes. Like, to go back to like the Tony Bennett and Elvis Costello, it's like, holy shit, I fed them. So does that mean if I keep cooking, like what else can come of it? And then opening myself up to that, and being able to just take a one-way plane ticket to California, live in Compton for like 6 months on a couch, going to and from work an hour and a half in the afternoon and up until nighttime after midnight, and then moving over to like Koreatown, being able to like scale yourself up and like, you know, it was the food, learning, trying, like, just wanting to engulf myself in like the west coast of the States. Everything's grown year round. It's sun all the time. It's a different flavor, different texture. But, you know, all these things, it just comes down to food. It takes you places and it brings you places that you would never have thought, you know. I would have never have thought in a million years that I would be sitting here in Sweden and, you know, dishing up some of the best burgers that Sweden has, like, legitimately. So food takes you everywhere. So if you have a vision and you have something that you believe in, go for it, because it'll take you places that you've never gone before. So take the leap.
100%.
Yeah.
What would you say to Stephen King if you met him? I just got to throw it in there since you like Stephen King. And I do too, that's why.
I would probably tell him, what made you quit drinking? Because some of his best work was coming in those kinds of times, yeah. You know, some of the best work, but it, you know, totally understand, yeah. You know, why, you know, you gotta quit and, you know, make your life better. But, you know, sometimes with art and with anything, writing music comes from a place that, you know, nobody necessarily sees. It could be a dark side. And some of the best works come from a side that you just, you don't know who you are. You just, you know, you're letting things out, and that's the form of expression. And it's a therapy. Like at home, I write music. I write a lot of heavy music. You know, that's like my canvas. You know, music is something. It's groove. It's rhythm. It's the aggressive, you know, chord progressions and time signatures, and, you know, just something to just get it out. You know, a lot of people work out, a lot of people box, a lot of people need that sort of out. You know, it's something that's very important, you know, for me.
Do you miss it? I mean,
playing music,
standing on stage, playing music.
Yeah, 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 of course, of course. Of course I miss it. I miss, you know, the fact that, you know, there could be hundreds of people just, you know, bouncing around to your music and just being able to just vibe out and just giving them a show, you know, giving them something to talk about, something to feel. You know, my first concert was, I was 14 years old. I went to go see the Kinks. My mother's favorite band is the Kinks. They were playing at this place called the Westbury Music Fair or Music Hall, I think it was. I don't think it's there anymore, but I remember just seeing like this circular stage. It was like clear, like tiles. And there's a drummer in the middle and everybody's around and all these lights are going on. It's just like, everybody's just like dancing. And I'm just like, wow, is this like how you feel good? Is this like, you know, one of those things where to go back to like eating for the first time, it makes you feel good. And then at that moment, it was like, wow, I didn't know who the Kinks were until, you know, later on in life. And I'm like, fuck, man, this band is pretty fucking big in the fucking UK. Like, that's, you know, that's pretty awesome. But music is something. And I've always wanted to win a Grammy. Like, I've always wanted to reach that kind of level of like being able to touch somebody through music, being able to, you know, help somebody along their path if they're not in a good position and they listen to like one of our tracks and it's just like, I fucking love that track. You helped me doing that. You helped, you know, my route of where I wanted to go. And, you know, that was something important. So when I was in Los Angeles doing the Grammy Awards in 2017 and just standing there and watching Little Yachty jump on top of a piano, looking at John Legend over in the corner, looking at Jennifer Lopez, Mary J. Blige, LL Cool J, like all these people just in one area at the Chateau Marmont, and just sitting there and being like, yeah, I may not have won a Grammy, but I actually cooked like at a Grammy Award event. So when I say that, like, you know, your route may go a different way, but it'll always circle back to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a story. When I was 20, I used to work in, it was called Globen before we had hockey and everything. It's a big arena, concerts and stuff. And I was the Zamboni driver there. But every day that we changed from event to event, we had the MTV Awards also once. And I was like, I'm on the wrong side. I'm not the one that should be setting up the chairs. I want to be the one on stage. So I left that work to start getting back to acting and do theater and stuff. But then I got the UFC gig over here in Sweden and did the commentary. And then they had an event in Globen. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
finally, circle close in one way.
Yep.
So I actually met an old colleague who was still working there.
Wow.
And this is 20 years later. It's about 20 years later. And he was like, and I told him, I was like, every day that we set up for the events, I was like, man, I need to be on the other side. So I had to leave and fuck, I'm finally here.
Yeah.
I kind of made it.
Yeah.
I left and I came back and I'm on the right side. I'm doing a commentary cage side and I wasn't fighting, but still I was cage side. I was the voice of the UFC and everything. And I was like, holy shit, finally. And then he looked at me. I was like, dude, what a journey.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's the journey. And I think sometimes, exactly like you said, life brings you other things. And I always say you got to keep your peripheral view open, because you might have your goal here, but in the end, the goal might be over there and it might even be better.
Yeah.
I think it might even be better.
Yeah.
And now I'm also touching people with my podcast and giving the voice to people so they can come in and talk and everything.
Yeah.
So I think life is one bouncy ride. It happens things and everything can change in an instant.
Yeah, it can.
Just be ready.
I think that, yeah, I think that's one of the beauties about life is that anything could change at any second. And it's up to you in order to prepare yourself. You know, life is preparation. Mm. Every experience is preparation for the end result that you want. So, you know, in your case, that's a full circle moment. Mm. You had that moment of being on the Zamboni. Mm. Like, you felt that you weren't supposed to be there. You're supposed to be on the other side. Mm. That's what I mean about having that feeling, having that gut feeling. You know already. And no matter what time it was from that Zamboni ride up until you commentating, it could have been a year, it could have been 2 years, but you got to that part and you probably attracted it and was just like, I have to be at that. I have to be there. That's where I'm supposed to be. And life gave you that opportunity. And so when you manifest and when you want something and you want to envision yourself being there, it'll come.
Yeah.
And that's where patience is. And patience is, it's a curse and it's a blessing. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning another conversation with you when you're back in Sweden again.
Absolutely.
And we need to sit down and do a number two.
Absolutely.
Part two.
I sign me up. I would absolutely. I mean, I want to thank, like, you know, the Bastard Burger team. Like, I want to thank you. And to be able to have this moment and to be able to have these opportunities and to be able to create friendships with, you know, with the people here is something very special. And I appreciate, you know, everybody taking in an outsider and being able to put trust and to be able to, you know, embark on a new, like a new friendship, a new journey. Mm. And, you know, completely appreciative and grateful of it every single day. So thank you.
Clive, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for taking your time and coming here. I know you leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we got in just in time.
Yeah.
I asked you yesterday and here we are. No, but it's been an interesting conversation and I'm really looking forward to talking to you again. And I know that people will get inspired. But then again, where do they find you if they're not following you already? How can they find you and see your journey?
Well, you know, obviously Instagram, obviously social media. You know, it's AMDICOCCO, AMDCOCO is the Instagram account. But, you know, I'd throw stories up there. You know, I don't really put too many posts and whatnot. But, you know, if you want to tag along the journey, you know, it's obviously through Instagram. I also do a lot of writing. So I have at least like 10 years worth of writing. It's probably like 15 books of just experiences in writing. So maybe one day there'll be a book and you could read the whole experience and, you know, really dive deep into your core and into your own journey. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'll put a link to your Instagram so they can find it in the bio. And thank you very much for a great conversation.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure of mine.
I can't wait for the second round, man. Can't wait.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So make sure to follow Anthony DiCocco on Instagram. And if you like this episode, share it with a friend. And from now on, I'm going to take it over in Swedish. I do not have several episodes in English. I think I have three, so you can scroll back and you will find, I remember right now, Venus Laos in English. You want to hear a conversation with her, you can definitely hear it. But if you speak Swedish, then you have over 200 interviews. You have like 50 sessions where I sit and talk alone. So learn Swedish and you can hear it all. You scroll down and you find everything here. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.